Mr. Jamie and Locker with you. Welcome to a Wednesday edition of The Green Zone. Another afternoon of watching the weather in Saskatchewan. Severe thunderstorm warnings for Conquest Bounty areas in Saskatchewan in the south as well. Around the Hafford area as well this afternoon. That, of course, there's like three spots. One around Battleford, one around Rosetown, and then one in the south. Our severe thunderstorm warnings this afternoon. We'll keep passing along the updates as they come in. But joining us right now is our NHL analyst, Drew Romenda.
Now, here's the long and the short of it. I hate hockey and I don't like kids.
It's time to drop the clubs.
We're losing!
More guys, more teams.
They're burying us alive!
But hey, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Hey, Drew, how are you today?
Good, Jamie. How are you?
I'm very well.
Good. Walker?
I'm good. Thank you, Drew. I have a question for you, Drew.
Yeah.
This is a trivia question.
Yeah.
You're not going to like this.
What or who led to this reaction last night? Any clues, Drew? On
No, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Nor do you care.
Hold on.
No.
Oh my God! Oh my God!
How would I know? Oh, you know what?
Do you got it?
No.
Oh. Taylor Swift performed at Tight End University last night, and it was a surprise performance, the first time she's performed since the Eras Tour at Travis Kelce's event last night.
It's been a long day.
It was a surprise, and all the people in the front row lost their ever-loving minds.
How would I, how did I miss that?
I thought it would have popped up on your Instagram feed last night. Like,
on the gram, yeah.
It's been a long day today, Drew, for me.
Yeah. Dad of the year. He's going to milk that for, probably about 5 more years.
See, I thought that too.
I took my kids to see Taylor Swift. Other dads go, yeah, so what? And then so did I. And he goes, yeah, but did you take him to France to see Taylor Swift? No.
See, but hold on. Drew, I thought that too. And I thought, okay, he's going to milk that. And I would as well. But here's the thing that I have learned. I've spent a lot of time with Jamie here over the last...
Oh, I know how that feels.
And I'm like, I've come to the conclusion that he's a bigger fan than his family.
No, come on. My wife was on the couch last night watching the Instagram feeds of all these people at I was like, can we watch the show yet? Or no, still watching the gram on. Okay.
He's a fan his favorite band is without a doubt the Reckless.
Long live the night, Drew. Long live the night. Okay, I've avoided the subject long enough. Let me just go through this. I just got another text from a buddy, Evander Kane, from Wheels this morning. Ha, 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 ha. From Shane Clausing in the newsroom. Evander Kane with an exclamation mark. We have a few others here. Oh, Justin Blackwell texted
Wait a minute. Weren't these people all Oiler fans and loving this guy like 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago?
Apparently. I was getting it all day on people mocking the Vancouver Canucks for trading Evander Kane.
Well, I understand why, because the history of Evander Kane off the ice has not been that sparkling. But until he got to Edmonton, with the San Jose Sharks, he was a disaster off the ice. With the Winnipeg Jets, he was a disaster off the ice. With the Buffalo Sabres, he was a disaster off the ice. He had a gambling addiction, and he was dealing with that. He had bankruptcy, and it was a very tough thing for him to go through, and a lot of it because of his gambling addiction. And he had the divorce very well, and the custody
Hi, Rosie.
She's been visiting, and he had a lot of issues. But when he got to Edmonton, it seemed like he straightened things out. Now,
I said that to Drew. I told him that earlier as well. I don't really remember hearing anything from his time in there.
Why would they want to trade him?
I have a theory on that, but Drew, keep going.
Because of money. Money. They got to sign Bouchard. They've got to sign, make a McDavid thing. They have a money issue. Now, to be fair, you understand that was probably going to happen anyway. It's a salary dump. Period. End of discussion. They got a fourth rounder for him. If you look at this guy, Jamie, and I understand the hesitation of people who cheer for the Vancouver Canucks, or even people who are laughing at this move by Vancouver, thinking, "Well, you didn't have enough drama last year with JT Miller and Elias Pettersson." But it seemed like he had been able to cure that, or at least the culture of the Edmonton Oilers fixed that for him. Now, he missed all of last year, but before that, he's a perennial 20-plus goal scorer. He scored 30 a couple of times in his career. He's got 600 points in 900-and-some games.
Plays hard. And then he turns into a meathead at the end of the Stanley Cup Final.
Well, you took the words out of my mouth. There are times when you know my saying, I'd rather have to pull a guy back from the edge than push him to it. And, geez, you want to talk about a guy who was a meathead but played Stanley Cup championship hockey, Adam Foote's one of those guys. I still can't stand Adam Foote for watching him do what he did to Marco Sturm in just a regular season game. I think Adam Foote's a despicable human being for that just simple little thing. But the guy knows what it takes to play in the National Hockey League. Adam Foote knows how to maybe get that guy to the edge and pull him back. I don't think this is a bad move for the Vancouver Canucks, because I do think, like I said, that his time in Edmonton really helped him, mm-hmm. one, get control of his life, two, the whole divorce and children's custody thing, the bankruptcy behind him, all that stuff. I think he's probably on a pretty good path right now as far as, I think he's changed as a person. I don't know the guy. I've never spoken to the man. He was in San Jose when I was in Edmonton, and he was in Edmonton when I was in San Jose, and when I'm in San Jose. So I don't know him. I know that the guys in San Jose that played with him don't miss him. I know the guys in Winnipeg who played with him don't miss him, but that was the past. And so when I look at his last couple of years with the Edmonton Oilers, you look at the numbers and go, Now, the other question I'd have would be the injury, because he had severe, severe injury.
Yeah.
He came back and played and looked like he played well. And at 33 years old, you hope he's able, if you're a Vancouver fan, able to have a good recuperation summer.
So I thought, Drew, that it was 75% salary dump. And then I have a theory, and this, I'm just completely pulling this out of my you-know-what. But I think it's 25%. They realize that Kane and his short fuse in the playoffs did not help them in their series with Florida. And that one game in particular, I'm trying to remember, it was game three when they went nuts.
It was game three. That was like a
Well, and even at the end of the series in game six, when he got the misconduct over the slashing with Tkachuk, I have a theory that if you get a misconduct, are you allowed to come back out for the handshake? Because no one's been able to answer that question definitively for me.
That I don't No, but I don't think it would have been a big issue. But because it was a 10-minute misconduct, it wasn't a game ejection. But the game ejection, no, you wouldn't be able to. He had just had a 10-minute misconduct.
So he should have been able to come out for the. I think they kept him in the dressing room, Drew, because they didn't want him to go out and punch Tkachuk in the lineup. I think that's part of why this is happening right now, is because I think that this was 25% of that.
I'll let you just have that theory. I really don't know. My thing is, it's fine if you're going to take penalties. It's fine if you're going to play to that edge, like I just said. But let's say Corey Perry, who I think pretty much had the same amount of penalties, but scored goals. And Corey Perry was in the penalty box a lot when Florida was scoring against them. So was Evander Kane. That's fine and dandy, okay? But Corey Perry went out and produced. If you're going to play to the edge and you're going to take penalties, you can't be an inconsistent performer in the playoffs in that final, especially in that final round, which I thought Evander Kane was.
Yeah, he was.
I thought he had too many shifts that were, he was out there? I thought too many shifts where he was no impact. Too many shifts where he just wasn't a factor all he had to do to be a factor was to be physical. Just be physical and be smart. Now, sometimes those intertwine and get mixed up and the wires get crossed. But when I look at Evander Kane's game overall, especially in the finals, I go, he was in and out. He was inconsistent. And you can't have that if you're going to be, what did he spend, 37 minutes in the penalty box?
Yeah. I think he also pouts a bit, too. When he's not on the line he thinks he should be on, he pouts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's been a factor.
But two real quick things. How excited were you for Joe Thornton yesterday at the call to the Hall of Fame?
As you know, I always like to reference, because I know it bugs the listeners, that I go to the gym every day. And I was in the gym, and I was watching and watching and watching and watching. And then when his name came up, and I knew they were doing alphabetical, so I was getting impatient. And when he did, I went, yes, as loud as I could. I might have said a word before that, you probably shouldn't use in public. But I was very happy for him, sent him a text. I'm extremely, extremely pleased for him. He deserves it. He's a hell of a player.
Yesterday with Lanny was
Yeah. Apparently they had trouble getting a hold of him. What's more surprising, that or the fact that he got in a first ballot?
No, I thought he'd be a first ballot guy. If you look at his numbers, they're fantastic. Yeah. And you know, people, would he ever win? You want a gold medal? I'll give you that one. But other than that, he did win a Stanley Cup. But his numbers are phenomenal. He changed our organization, the San Jose Sharks. So that was great. As far as the call goes, that's not surprising that they couldn't hold him. Might have been on the farm. They might have been on the farm. That was the other thing.
They had to call him like 3-4 times, apparently.
Oh, this is
so-so news. How's that?
Okay.
We're trying to figure out what you're doing in November. But I'll let.
If anything involves hanging with you, Lanny, I'm in. And Ron.
Well, here's Ron.
Hey, Joe, I just wanted to let you know that we're really excited to welcome you into the Hockey Hall of Fame. You were voted into
it. Holy Ronnie. Holy doodle. Holy doodle.
Holy doodle.
Big Joe. Jumbo Joe going to the Hall of Fame. And finally, Drew, we were talking about the Mount Rushmore of hockey broadcasters. You can't say them all. You can only pick four.
Okay.
Outside of Drew Remenda, who are the other three?
Color analysts?
Nope. Just hockey broadcasters, commentators, Don Cherry, Ron McLean, Bob Cole, Harry Neal, Foster Hewitt, Doc Emmerich. Who would you put in?
Bob Cole.
Yeah.
Got to work with great Bob Cole. The great Don Whitman, I got to work with him.
Oh, Donnie Whitman!
Whitman
came in
Don
a couple of times.
Such a great, great human being. And without bias, and because I just absolutely 100% believe it, Randy Hahn and Dan Rizinowski. Those are the four top play-by-play guys in my book. Color commentators, Ray Ferraro, Ed Olczyk, Brian Hayward is fantastic, and one up-and-comer who I think is really, really good and going to be great, Brian Boucher. But I'm probably skipping a few there because there are a few before him, but currently those are the guys I look at. But as far as my play-by-play guys goes, I had the great fortune.
Boucher was the guy between the bench with the spraying the water thing, right? Yeah. When he was like, hey, stop getting my notes wet!
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was Boucher. He's such a great guy. He does Philadelphia Flyers as well, but currently those are the guys I look at as the guys that's, Brian Engblom, Mike Johnson, a lot of guys on the color side that I really like because they guys that still analyze the game.
That's why I said you can't say them all. Drew.
I said six. I got just in case, like the other side of the Mount Rushmore, you can go along the back end.
And I'm surprised you're not in San Jose for the draft and having Bailey announce your picks.
This year, they did not need me this year. I asked. They wanted me to come down. They said no. Spend time with your lovely granddaughter. And I said okay, I will. And Rosie, you want to say hi? Say hi.
Hi,
Rosie. All right, Drew. We'll talk to you later this week.
Awesome.
Okay, boys. Talk to you later.
Drew Remenda and his lovely granddaughter. Rosie here on the Green Zone. More coming up. Who would be on your Mount Rushmore of hockey broadcasters? And we'll get you up to speed on Trevor Harris's injury next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Love isn't always on time. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Thanks for spending some of your Wednesday with us. I hope if this was your last day of school, I hope you're not listening to the show. You're having ice cream. You're running around the park. You're out with your friends. You're having a blast. And to the parents, I hope you
trouble.
Have a cocktail and you're just sitting on the back deck watching the kids just run free now for the summer. But there are some severe thunderstorm warnings out between Battleford and Saskatoon. Right now, just kind of northeast of Bigger, up as well in the area of Hafford and Blaine Lake area, and then a little bit further south of that, just east of Dinsmore. Outlook severe thunderstorm warnings this afternoon. 1-877-332-8255. Of course, our text line supports photo and video. If you take a shot of the severe weather this summer in Saskatchewan, it's a good way to tell the story and spread things along here on the Green Zone and on our newscasts. But Locker, did you know we're in their head? We, Canada, are in their America head when it comes to flag football. Here's Pat McAfee after Canada beats the United States at the International Bowl.
We can't be losing to Canada, okay?
Oh, boy.
You guys can't be
Canada
happy.
Doesn't even what? Play football.
It's a strong squad.
It is not.
The Canada one is.
It is not. Oh, that is the problem that I'm having here. Now, I learned this from Football Canada's official senior men's senior masculine, obviously, you guys speak French in there because it is Canada. 25-21, they go on to play Japan, I think, in the next couple of days, Super Duper International Bowl. This is flag football here.
It's embarrassing.
Can't happen.
Can't.
Joke.
We're in their head locker.
You know what? Paul Appelese, he's a technician.
Paul Appelese has only been running this program.
He went down
for
there
a couple of months.
When he even got the inkling that this was something that he could do, he went after it, and you know, he locked himself in a room for a month and a half, studied that game, figured out what to do, and went down there and went 4-0. Like, quickly put the pieces that he needed together to win with flag football, and went down there and blew everybody away.
So we champed him yesterday on the Green Zone, but it was hilarious. Hilarious! Pat was so ticked.
We can't be losing to Canada.
Get used to it, McAfee! We're coming for gold in L.A. in 2028. Love
it. Good for... say what you will about Pat, but Pat talking about it gives it a certain cachet and props it up. And Paul, to his credit, went and retweeted, said something really nice, very diplomatic, very Canadian. He said, hey, the American squad was pretty good, too.
Yeah, we do have a strong squad,
we have a strong
actually.
Team. To be quite honest. Your co-host was right there, Pat. So he was, he retweeted it. And good for Paul.
Of course, in
good
2028,
for the Canadian squad.
The flag football will be at the Olympics, and it'll be interesting to see the growth of Team Canada under the direction of Paul Appelese, offensive coordinator in the Canadian Football League, head coach in the Canadian Football League. He knows his X's and O's, and as you said, you're bang on. He spent a lot of time.
He locked himself in a room.
Watching film, watching video, and he said he was watching a lot of just U.S. How do they do it? What are the intangibles of an athlete you need to succeed? Then they had that workout of about 40 players showing up in Montreal for a camp for a couple of days, and he went, you're my 10.
Yeah.
And away they went, and they beat the Americans.
It was funny, and not that he tipped his hat, but we had him on, Jamie, shortly. I think it was 2 weeks after that they announced that he was going to coach the team.
Yep.
And you could tell, you could just hear his brain spinning when we had him on the Green Zone. You could hear him, like, the way he was talking about the game and the intricacies of flag versus tackle and the things that he would need to do to manipulate the game. You could tell he was already thinking about it. He was like, I need these players. I need these type of players. This is going to work well in this. This is going to translate well. Yeah. It sounds like he found the right ingredients to go down there and win. It'll be interesting because when you sent me that, was it on the weekend that they finished 4-0?
Yep.
You sent me a note to our Green Zone text group, and then we went back and forth and we're still trying to figure out how these tournaments play into the Olympics and qualifying.
They haven't figured out how the qualifying process is going to quite work yet on which countries will participate in the Olympics, but they're pretty much said if you're in the top six in the world rankings, you're probably going to be at the Olympics, and then they'll figure out the other teams from there. Canada's 12th right now, so
they'll
have to start running up the table.
Did that tournament place them at 12th, or did we...
No, they were at 12th going into the tournament.
So that tournament where we placed 4-0...
They'll jump up the rankings a little bit. Absolutely, they will.
So we don't know where that places it. But the fact that we beat the States...
That's awesome.
That's awesome. But in that tournament, that should make a case for us to move up the rankings.
Absolutely, no? It should. And that's what Paul's goal is. He wants this team right near the top of the rankings by 2028. That's the goal. Before we turn our attention to hockey broadcasters, of course, the Rider news today. Is it a concussion when it comes to Trevor Harris?
Yeah, I mean, it was a big hit, you know, so, you know, we did keep eyes to that, you know what I mean, and protecting the players, it's kind of just what we're about here in that situation. But also, too, he's, like I said, he is dealing with some kind of infection, I don't know. But for this standpoint, yeah, we're being careful from the hit to the head.
So there's Corey Mace. With the concussion update on Trevor Harris going into a Saturday.
It is funny how they dodge it, right? Like, head, you know, took a big hit, head. They don't want to say it, right?
Well, I don't understand why. You think more teams are going to, you have to disclose the injury anyways. It says head injury on the injury report, for crying out loud. Like, what else is it? It's not like you got a broken nose or a dislocated jaw. No.
Hangnail.
Yeah. He took a shot, and they're clearly a bit worried about whatever concussion symptoms or headaches or whatever else the symptoms are that he's feeling well with the infection.
What do you think happened this morning? Does he show up and try to get into practice, and Corey's like,
no.
Go home?
No.
No.
And then, he would have checked in with the doctors this morning. He would have come into the facility. He'd run through the list of the gamut with the athletic therapist. How did you wake up? How are you feeling? Got on a bike maybe to do a light workout. Okay. Go home. Enjoy the rest of the day. That's might have been all it was, or come back for meetings after practice or however it was. But yesterday he was out there, but this,
yeah,
not out there doing anything, but
today
this,
he wasn't even in there.
He wasn't out there. But
that's why I was asking. So here's a scenario for you. So he shows up tomorrow, goes through the same process, close practice, and he's all like, he's fine. And the doctors go, so is he throwing the ball on Saturday, even with
maybe
Jake taking all the first team reps?
Maybe. Okay. Absolutely.
All right.
If he clears it or not, we'll see. And then tomorrow's injury report will say available, questionable, or out. Those will be I imagine we'll say questionable, to be quite honest. And then we'll find out with the depth chart. And maybe they'll have the game time decision on it, which is allowed in the Canadian Football League. Coming up next year on the Green Zone, let's talk hockey. Who belongs on the Mount Rushmore of hockey broadcasters? As Grape says goodbye, is he on the Mount Rushmore? Bob Cole, Harry Neal, Don Whitman, Foster Hewitt, Ron McLean, Doc Emmerich. How about Scott Oak? This is 980 Scott CJME Oak. And 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone as they continue to expand some of the weather warnings out there. Severe thunderstorm warnings in a lot of the area that is west of Saskatoon. You're talking about in the Borden area, just south of Highway 16, and then northeast of Hafford right now, south of Cridor, that area, as some severe thunderstorm. And then there's another severe thunderstorm warning that is more closer to Highway 11, just west of Highway 11, west of Keniston and Hanley area, moving up through Dundurn. So there is severe weather in Saskatchewan in those areas right now. We'll keep you up to date here on the Green Zone. But we've been debating who should be on the Mount Rushmore of hockey broadcasters. With Don Cherry's, what sounds like final podcast, his son says, more than likely his final podcast was aired.
Everybody knows what's going on here. I mean, I don't know why we're all just...
Because he can't.
He's, you can't say it. He's
91 years old. But is Don Cherry on the Mount Rushmore of hockey broadcasters and commentators? 1-877-332-8255. We have so many names on the list.
Yeah.
But the Mount Rushmore is only four. I think when you look at it, Foster Hewitt.
You kind of have to put Foster on.
And Bob Cole, I think, got the most votes so far. So there's 1-2. Don Cherry, Danny Gallivan are among the next up. Howie Meeker is there as well. Harry Neal's getting some love.
Harry Neal's come in.
Chris Cuthbert is getting some love.
Chris, I think a lot of people from the East would know Joe.
Joe Bowen.
Bully
Mackinac.
Yep. Joe's come in quite a bit. Yeah. I think we are sort of narrowing it down. Foster, Bob Cole. You know what?
I'm locking Bob Cole and Foster Hewitt in. Like, from all the votes, those two would be on the Mount Rushmore.
Jamie?
Bob did it for 50 darn years.
Listen, I know we got into this, and maybe it's recency bias, but Don Cherry, I think, could lock down the third spot. Just based on the conversation we've been having today,
yep.
The 300 texts that we've had, it's that fourth one that's hard, right?
1-877-332-8255. Glenn in Saskatoon.
Glenn, it's Greg.
Oh, sorry, Greg. Sorry.
Yeah, what's wrong with Scotty? Oh, man. Anyway, so...
we ask that daily, Greg. That's a daily conversation. Anyways, what do you got?
All the names that you guys are throwing out there are good names, okay? I'm not disagreeing, but it sounds more like it's a Hall of Fame type thing. If you're talking Mount Rushmore, you're looking for legends. And like Howie Meeker's good, Dick Irvin, Bob Cole.
Dick Irvin could be that fourth one.
Mm-hmm. Don Cherry. Of course, you know, like, those are all great names in hockey. That's like a Mount Rushmore.
I agree with you. It's Greg, right?
Yeah.
1G?
Yeah.
Or 2Gs at the end?
Well, sorry. 1G at the beginning and 1 at the end. And, just to top it all off, as much as I hate him, I'm sure I would love Brad Marchand in blue.
Greg, do you think that could happen next week?
I think
free agency, Greg. You think Brad Marchand's going to be a Toronto Maple Leaf?
It's the only thing he does.
I'd be doing a happy dance. But right now, I hate him. Don't get me wrong.
I think Greg is.
I can't. I don't. That'll be weird. Come on, Greg. That'll be weird.
It makes the most sense.
Oh, that would be so weird to have Brad Martin, especially when they play the Bruins, to have him on the Leaf side. That might be the craziest
180. Who else would do this? There's no other player that would do that. The only player I can think of that could get away with it is Brad Marchand. That's why I think it's going to happen.
That would have been like Gretzky playing on the Calgary Flames almost.
Oh,
like that kind of weird. Connor McDavid in a Flames jersey. That kind of weird.
You need to stop talking.
Leon Draisaitl in a Flames jersey.
Stop it.
That kind of weird.
Stop it.
1-877-332-8255.
Paul Bissonnette just came in.
Yeah, we're not putting Biznasty.
I love Biznasty, but I don't think he's on the Mount Rushmore just yet.
Glenn, you want to add a name to Mount Rushmore? What is it?
Okay, you nailed it with the first two. It has to be Don Cherry for the third, but it has to be Danny Gallivan. It really has to be. And that he just completely did away with how everyone looked. And him and Dick Irvin were just great together. Dick Irvin always trying the Regina plug. Excuse me, Danny, I was in Regina last week. That's okay, Dick. The weather today in Montreal was a balmy. It's on the right side. Score!
Danny Gallivan, he was he was done in 84, and he went right into the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So he was I just missed him because I was Bob Cole.
Bob Cole's my guy, too.
But yeah. Danny Gallivan might be the fourth name to add to that Mount Rushmore with Hewitt, Cherry.
You put Cole, him ahead of Howie?
Howie Meeker. Let the debate rage on.